entire Torah portion. There's just too many things. But if you turn with me to Exodus chapter 18, there's always that tendency or that temptation, good temptation, to go to Exodus chapter 20 and talk about the Ten Commandments, of course. But I'm gonna not do that today because I really felt that I should speak on Exodus chapter 18 with you. But our Torah portion this week is actually called Yitro, which is the name of Jethro or Yitro, Moses' father-in-law. He is also the priest, was the priest of Midian, which is a region there in the Middle East. And Yitro comes in Exodus chapter 18 to visit with Moses and visit with the children of Israel at a time when they have just gone into the wilderness, really. They've come out of Egypt. They've come out of all this slavery and harsh labor, and they've come out towards freedom to the promised land, and they're just beginning their journey in the wilderness. And we'll pick up with, we'll start off with the first Torah portion verse, which is Exodus 18:1. Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Now, Jethro or Yitro would have heard this because the fame of Israel and really of the Lord was spreading. You know, you can't really contain the fact that 10 crazy, miraculous plagues happened to the greatest superpower in the world. You can't really contain the reality that the seas miraculously parted and Israel was able to walk through. That stuff kind of gets around, you know? It gets around. There was no Instagram, but it still got around really fast. And people were like amazed at what God was doing with this little group of former slaves, Israel. And Yitro heard about it as well. He hears everything God has done by bringing Israel out of Egypt. And what does he do, though? He comes to Moses, and he's offering Moses some advice. Good, practical, wise counsel. And Moses listens to that good, wise, practical counsel. Now, in our walk with the Lord, in our lives as followers of Yeshua, we tend to think, this is what we tend to think, this is, you know, the general rule of thumb. When you become a believer, you're just supposed to pray and let God just lead you in your life. God's going to do the rest. As long as you have a good heart and you pray and you're just there, right? God's going to do the rest. And that's very true in a lot of ways. But we just tend to believe everything's just going to work out if we just, you know, do those couple of things. Everything's going to work out. Everything's going to fall into place. We're going to have total success in our lives. And we also tend to think that good, practical advice is not spiritual, right? Oh, that's just not spiritual enough. We want the spiritual things because God is all about parting waters and doing crazy and amazing plagues. Well, he's also about practical wisdom for everyday living. The Bible has a lot to say about practical wisdom for everyday living. Much of the Torah is how to live out the spiritual precepts of the Ten Commandments. You know, the Ten Commandments, the ten things that Moses wrote down basically are directed from two different commandments, love God and love your neighbor. And based on that, we have the ten spiritual precepts, commandments of God. And based on those ten, the rest of the Torah is formed. All of the various rules and regulations and stipulations that are in the Torah can all be drawn back to those ten and really those two. But much of the Torah is practical ways of living out those spiritual precepts or truths or commandments. The book of Proverbs is a biblical book devoted to practical living. Not overtly spiritual. It's not like Ezekiel or these dreams and all these visions going on, but it's still a biblical book with practical living for us. Over and over, Proverbs, in particular, talks about how to be wise, how not to be the fool in your everyday lives. Now, Yitro comes to Moses. Moses is pretty important at this point. Moses is the leader of Israel. He is literally God's mouthpiece to the Pharaoh, greatest king in the world at that time, according to the world standards. He's the mouthpiece to the people for God. He is very, very important. And he was the leader of the one nation on earth set apart for God, of all the other nations. This great, important leader, Moses, stops, listens, and heeds practical advice from Yitro, his father-in-law. It's interesting that this chapter on Yitro and the advice that Yitro gave Moses comes while Israel is encamped at the foot of Mount Sinai and right before the chapters when Israel gets the Ten Commandments and when Israel becomes the nation of Israel. Now, in Judaism, there's a lot of commentary and a lot of talk about how at Sinai, Israel became Israel. They were tribes before that. After the revelation at Sinai, when the Ten Commandments were given, the Ten Commandments being really the constitution of the new nation, they go and they become God's people, the nation of Israel, and representative of God in the entire world. But right before that, Yitro comes and gives Moses advice. I think it's not coincidence that this happens right before they become the nation, right before all these great things start happening. In order to get started on the right foot as a nation, in order to be successful as one nation under God, Israel had to operate efficiently. Israel had to heed, and Moses had to heed, of course, this good and practical advice. Now, in our lives and in our ministries, whatever ministries you have, and every one of us has a ministry that is to live our life as followers of Yeshua and minister to the people around us, whether it's our family, co-workers that we can share the Lord with, or just the way we live out our life, we are showing that's our ministry to the Lord. In our lives and in all of our ministries, we are representing the Lord. We are representing Yeshua, and we are God's standard bearers, much like Israel back then was God's standard bearers. In many ways, Israel is still today God's standard bearers. But we are also, as followers of Yeshua, standard bearers of God. And in order for us to be successful in the ministries God's given us, we have to have this practical, wise counsel in our lives. We have to heed it for everyday living so we can go out and we can live the lives that God wants us to live in Him. So let's begin Exodus, go back to Exodus 18. I'm going to start with verse 5. So Yitro comes to Moses. The first thing we see is Yitro's coming, and he is coming in love. He's coming with encouragement to Moses and also some correction. He has good intentions. We know from the text, and I'll read this in a minute, that he cares about Moses, that he cares about Israel. And also very important, Moses trusts Yitro and his advice. Okay, Exodus 18, 5 through 7. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife, those are Moses' sons and wives, and wife, to Moses in the wilderness where he was encamped at the mountain of God, Mount Sinai. Verse 6, and when he sent word to Moses, I, your father-in-law, Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and your two sons with her. Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him, and they asked each other of their welfare and went into the tent. Now, this is a real picture of a relationship, a good relationship. And because Yitro and Moses had this already established relationship and trust, Yitro could speak into Moses' life. Exodus 18, 24. Drop down a little bit to verse 24. So after all the advice Yitro gave, we're going to go right to the punchline here. So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. So Moses heeded the advice. He listened to Yitro. He knew he could trust Yitro and whatever the words Yitro had for him. And when he came to him, here's the other thing. Moses was open to the correction. Moses was open to the advice. He was open and willing to listen and to change. And this is the first point today with our message. Point number one, in our lives, we need to be willing to listen and change like Moses. We need to be willing. Turn with me to 1 John, not John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Now, as soon as I say this, we have to put a little caveat in this, right? Because I'm not saying we need to be listening to every word that comes towards us. I'm not saying we need to be listening to every person that wants to speak in our lives, because there's scriptures like this, 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. We don't like to think that, but there's a lot of false prophets in the world. And you know what? Sometimes this scripture is obviously talking about heavy spiritual matters, right? But it's also, I think, talking to us personally, because many times false prophets can come and speak to us. False prophets can whisper. You know, obviously the enemy tries to do this, to come and whisper in our ears about things. But many times people come, quote unquote, prophesying all sorts of things to us in our lives and giving us bad advice. Sometimes people like to prophesy, quote unquote, about what they think we should be doing in our lives. And maybe that's the case, and maybe it's not the case. Have you ever had somebody in your life that came to you and wanted to prophesy and give you some advice, and you kind of said, I don't know if that's really from the Lord. And I'm saying that in a nice way, but you know, a lot of times people come to us and we have to back up and say, well, let me just pray about that, test that. We don't always want to just take in every spirit that comes to us. We have to be discerning. We have to use wisdom. This is where Proverbs comes in. Moses knew Yitro was to be trusted. And so he was able to let his guard down and listen and trust that counsel. But I'm going to say this. Sometimes we have to be careful, because people come to us with trusted and wise counsel. Yes, listen to them, and then obviously test that if it's from the Lord. But I'm going to say this. Sometimes less than trustworthy people come to you and I. And they may say something to us, and they may say it in a not nice way, and they may not be totally right on track, but there could be something that they're saying that maybe we should think about and test that spirit. You know, God speaks through donkeys. God speaks through pagan nations to accomplish his purposes at times. I'm saying we need to be discerning, so that when a word is given, we should test it and see if it lines up with Scripture, of course. Test it and see if it's from the Lord. Sometimes God can use odd circumstances and people that maybe we don't get along with or don't want to get along with, and God is still maybe speaking. So wisdom, discernment. Is this something I need to look at in my life? Should I be open to this or not? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. We're going to be going a bit to Proverbs this morning. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. I think I probably could have quoted the entire book of Proverbs today with the message, but Proverbs 12, 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. That is like the funniest translation. I don't know if all of you had the word stupid in your translation. You know, I'm reading from the ESV, but I think we get the point. Sometimes the Bible cuts right to it, right, with the words translated from the Hebrew. None of us are right all the time. We have to remember that. We have to be willing to listen. We have to be willing to change if it's something from the Lord. Now, here's the other thing. Moses was a leader at this point. Moses had a lot of power. Moses had a lot of responsibility. And sometimes with great power and responsibility can sometimes come a great ego, right? We have to be careful that we don't have a great ego, or that we get puffed up by all this positional power that we may have. So Moses could have said, Yitro, I really don't know what you're talking about, because you could see that I've got all of this going on and I seem to be doing a fine job. He could have said, you haven't even been here with me. What do you know? You haven't been around when these plagues were going on. You haven't been around when God parted the waters. You're just waltzing in here now and giving me this advice. You haven't even been here. He could have said, don't you know that I'm God's mouthpiece? Don't you know I talk directly to God every day? Do you talk directly to God? You know how we do that. Are you hearing what I'm hearing? Don't you know my position? Yitro, remember, Yitro was a pagan priest. We seem to forget that. Now, a lot of commentaries talk about how Yitro was changing his opinion. Obviously, he acknowledged God as God. We don't know if he completely, quote-unquote, dove right in his unequivocal belief in only the God of the Hebrews, the God of Israel, because he was still a pagan priest. We don't know these things. However, Moses listened. Moses listened. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Moses recognized that this was a good word. Moses didn't get offended. Moses didn't say, wait a minute, you know, you're coming to me and you haven't been here and don't you realize who I am? He could have said any one of those things. Hebrews 12, 6 and 7. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Now, I'll also add this. What son likes discipline? What daughter likes discipline? When you were a kid, did you ever say to your parents, you know what, I deserve that. I you really should discipline me. I don't think I've ever said that. I can tell you this much, none of my kids have ever said that. We don't say these things, but discipline is a big part of being a parent, is it not? Teaching our kids right and wrong. And discipline is a big part of God being our parent, teaching us right and wrong. What son is there whom his father does not discipline? These are interesting and wise words. And of course, I quoted Hebrews chapter 12, but the author of the book of Hebrews, the one who was scribing this down from the Lord, was referencing in these verses another biblical book, and guess which book he was referencing? Proverbs. He was referencing Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12. It's a repeat. It's a quote. It's a retweet of Proverbs 3, 12. As believers, we have to recognize that God will use many means to show us things. And frequently, it is through other people. Now go to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20. Last Proverbs scripture here in this point. You know, frequently God is going to use other people, use means, other different types of means to get things through to us. Proverbs 19, 20. Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. We all think that we're wise because we're just sitting at the feet of the Lord every day and praying and doing, and yes, that is a source of wisdom, of course. But don't discount the fact that God may use people in your lives to speak things to you that he wants you to know. Not always easy, but it's frequently necessary to be open to that wisdom and that correction. Okay, back to Exodus 18. We're going to start with verse 13. I'm going to read 13 and 14, and then we'll read 17 and 18. The next day, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone, and all the people stand around you from morning till evening?" Now drop down to 17 and 18 now. Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone." Moses was wearing himself out. We don't know how fast he was approaching burnout. You know, there's all these statistics on burnout in the workplace and burnout in our lives. And I notice that if I go a couple of weeks and I really don't take a break, I start feeling it. I start feeling and approaching burnout. You may be in burnout and not even realize it, but burnout can easily happen. And Moses was heading towards it if he wasn't even there already. He was leading 2+ million people in the middle of a desert, and he was very busy. Even though we may not lead 2+ million people in the middle of a desert, even though we may not be as busy as Moses, you and I have things to do in life. And let me tell you, life seems to get busier and busier and busier. With every year, it just feels like things are speeding up, and there's so much out there. There's so many things to occupy our time. There are so many things to occupy our energy. And if we are not honest with ourselves, we tend to do the things We tend to pick and choose and do the things that are fun, the things that are easy, the things that we want to do, because we can't possibly do it all. It's all out there. Moses couldn't do it all. It was all out there for him, and we can't do it all. And we have to understand that many times we don't want to work on the hard things in our lives. We don't want to work on the unpleasant things because it's fun to do the fun things with our time. But not focusing sometimes, many times, on the areas that we need to improve will cause burnout, will cause problems down the line for us. Moses could not do it all. He had to prioritize. He had to focus on certain things and not other things. The right things and not everything. So that's point two this morning. We have to prioritize and focus on the right things. Now, that is so hard to do, especially in this world where information, data is coming at us at such a rapid rate, no matter what medium you're talking about. It's just coming at us. And I'm going to admit something here. I struggle with prioritizing and focusing on the right things a lot of the time. I have this ADD when it comes to prioritizing things. You know, it's like, ooh, look at this. Look, a squirrel over there. I'm going to go after this. All these shiny objects, you know. It's like, we got to focus and we have to prioritize. When we're not focused and when we don't prioritize, we try to do too much. We try to grab it too much. We try to exhaust ourselves doing all, and we speed towards burnout. We worry then, and we stress because we can't get it all done. It's all out there. I can't do it. I can't do it all. We start to stress. We start to worry. We start to approach that burnout. The truth is, many times you and I focus on unnecessary things in our lives that distract us from the right things that we should be doing. Matthew chapter 6. Go to Matthew chapter 6 with me. Verses 31 through 33. Matthew chapter 6 is in the middle of what we call the Sermon on the Mount, or Yeshua's great drash on the Torah, is another way to say it. He was explaining and elucidating all of the elements of the Torah for his disciples and all the people in Israel when he was speaking to them. And Matthew 6 is right in the middle of that, Matthew 6, 31 through 33. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now that is a great word for us every day. Every time I get overwhelmed, every time I lose perspective, every time my prioritization and my ADD goes crazy, I have to stop and go back to the basics, right back to the Lord. Starting with God is never a bad thing. It's always a good thing. Adonai actually has a way of focusing us. What should our priorities be? Well, number one, our spiritual walk should be our highest priority. Your spiritual walk, and I'll add to that, your spiritual health. You've got to be healthy in the Lord. Sometimes that means pulling away and resting. Yeshua did. We know many examples where he would pull away and he would go solitarily somewhere and pray. We need to focus on our spiritual walk and our spiritual health. Focus on our families. Focus on our jobs. Focus on our congregation. We tend to get so wrapped up in solving the problems of the world and of all the people around us that we forget about our own lives and our own issues right in front of us. Now, many of you can anticipate the scripture, Matthew chapter 7. This is a powerful, convicting scripture. Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. This is, I think, a word when we're thinking about where it's so easy today to focus on, oh, I'm going to solve this problem, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. I'm going to tell people this. I'm going to go do this. Matthew 7, 3 through 5. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. It doesn't mean we shouldn't go to people in love and share the Lord and share correction with them. Yitro did to Moses. But let's make sure we get our hearts right and our lives right before we go and wagging our finger at people, so to speak, because then we're just going to look like hypocrites, which is exactly what the Bible says. And this is a really convicting scripture, I know, for all of us, certainly for me. The thing is, we tend to want to be the policemen and policewomen for everybody else out there except ourselves. Many times what we're doing is we're wasting our energy. We're wasting our energy on things that are out of our control, out of our influence, that are just not that important. You know, in the business world, they've got these things where you go to these seminars and they draw the circles, right? And there's this little circle here, and that's your circle of influence. And there's this big circle around it, and that's the other stuff in the world. And your circle, you can't make your circle bigger to handle all those people out there in the world. You've got to focus on what you can focus on. This is your level of influence. This is your level, this is your ministry, so to speak. Let's not try to reach out and try to do everything. The problem is, it's easy to do this. It's easy to get overwhelmed when all you got to do is turn this thing on. It's on all the time, actually. Does anybody ever turn their cell phone off anymore? I leave it on all the time. But there's everything at your fingertips here. It's super easy to just get sucked in, to try to solve things and get overwhelmed. We need to prioritize. We need to focus on the right things so that we know what is from the Lord, so that we know how to live our lives. If you don't know what things should I be working on? You know, that's a good question. What should I be working on, Lord? What should I be saying to people, not saying to people, doing, not doing? Well, you need to seek the Lord. Ask the Lord about that. Go before the Lord. Lord, what should I be spending my time on? There obviously is so much out there, and there's more out there than we have time for. But what are the things, Lord, that I should be spending my time on? Okay, back to Exodus 18. Let's go back to our text today. Yitro's giving Moses advice about all this prioritizing, focusing. You got to not do this. You're going to get burnt out, da-da-da-da-da. And then he says this in Exodus 18, 23. If you do this, God will direct you, and you'll be able to endure. And all this people also will go to their place in peace. I thought that was an interesting verse. All the points of that verse are very interesting. First of all, God will direct you. Once you have freed your mind of the clutter, once you have focused on the things that need to be focused on and disregard all the other things that don't need to be focused on, all the non-important stuff that you don't need to be worrying about, once you do that, then God can direct you. Listen, if we're so immersed with everything going on in the world, we don't have any time for God. We filled all of our time up worrying and stressing and doing and all this stuff, and we're forgetting about the Lord. It's easy to do that. Let God direct you. That's kind of implied, but I think it needs to be stated. That's the last point this morning. In our practical wisdom for living every day, we need to allow God to direct us. Allow God to direct you. Allow God to speak into your life. That means make time for God, is what I'm saying. Allow the Lord to speak into your life. Allow him to mold you and shape you and teach you and guide you. Psalm 86, verse 11. The Psalms there's a lot of great Psalms about this, a lot of great verses in general in the Bible around about this. Psalm 86, 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. This should be our prayer. This should be the first step for all of us. Acknowledging Yeshua as our Savior and our Lord, of course, is the first step. It's a big, important step. It's the beginning of our life with the Lord. But that's where it starts and not where it stops. We all know that, right? We can't just stop there. We have to now allow God to speak to us, to work in our lives. We have to allow God access to the areas of our life that we like. We would like him to have access, you know, oh God, you know, change me. But a lot of times we don't want God to change, you know, this part of our lives or this part of our lives. There's access that we kind of lock up and don't allow God in. But he needs to have all the keys to all the rooms in our lives and our hearts. We need to allow God access to all areas of our lives. We may not want to change certain behavior. And this is a lifelong process. This is that process of sanctification that takes the rest of our natural lives here, allowing God to work in our lives. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. You know, this is scary. This is difficult. This is hard to do, to allow God in, to work in areas we may not want anybody to see. Maybe we're kind of closing them off from ourselves, but we need to allow God in. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That is a surrendered heart to God. That is a heart that, like Moses had with Yitro, willing to listen and willing to change. But as I said, this can be scary. Remember Yitro, trusted friend, counselor for Moses, father-in-law. Moses knew that even though what Yitro was saying might be difficult, maybe it was hard for Moses to give up. We don't know, give up the power. Maybe it was hard for Moses just because he wanted Israel to succeed so badly. It's hard. You know, if you've ever been leading other people at work in your lives, leading other people even in a ministry here, it's hard to let go and let those people work, right? We want to exercise control over everything just to make sure it all goes right. I know I have that problem sometimes. We need to allow other people to do things. We need to release that control. We need to allow God to work in our lives and teach us things. This is what we should be doing. And just as Moses trusted Yitro enough, his father-in-law, you and I need to trust our Heavenly Father enough to do that. It's hard, but allow God to direct you. Now, go to Exodus chapter 4, verse 13. This is the last scripture I have today. Exodus 4, 13. This is a process. We shouldn't beat ourselves up and say, well, you know, I'm really behind the curve here. I've been a believer for a number of years, and I still don't let God in all these areas. Well, Moses, his life was a process too. Moses didn't just, you know, see the burning bush and like, oh, okay, great. Here we go. I'm going to just open up to God, and God's going to use me. Moses had a little bit of a hesitation, shall we say. Exodus chapter 4, verse 13. This was a big undertaking, leading Israel. Moses was hesitant. That's clearly an understatement. Exodus 4:13. But this is Moses talking to God at one point. But he said, oh, my Lord, please send somebody else. How many times have you said that? Oh, my Lord, please send somebody else. I think I've said that a few times. God had a really important work for Moses. And on the outset, it probably seemed pretty overwhelming. You know, God has things in our lives. And I tell you what, sometimes I get a little overwhelmed. I don't know about you, but it's like, how do you eat the elephant, right? It's a kosher elephant, by the way. How do you eat the elephant? One bite at a time, right? But you look at the elephant and this is such a big creature. How could I possibly do this? It's over time. God will direct you. You'll be able to endure also is what the scripture says. And the people will be taken care of. So that's interesting. By you and I allowing God to direct us, by you and I allowing God access, by you and I surrendering more and more in our everyday practical lives to God over a period of time, not only is God going to work things in your life, but you're going to be able to endure the things he's called you to, and this is a big and, others will be blessed. Others will be blessed. That's what the scripture says there. Others may come to know the Lord through your life and your witness, even through seeing you being vulnerable with your shortcomings. Because, you know, I love the fact that the Bible shows us vulnerable, broken people and all their shortcomings, along with all the great things they did for God. Because then I say, well, I can do that. I'm a vulnerable, broken person too. You're a vulnerable, broken person as well. So we're in good company because every single person here that was used by God had problems and issues. Every single one, except for Yeshua, the Son of God. So we have to be willing for God to work in our lives, be open and vulnerable and humble about these things. And I guarantee you, in our lives, people will see, people will take heed. We will draw people to the Lord just by living our lives that way. This may not be the most fun advice. This may not be the most spiritual advice. I don't think Moses was ready to hear some practical everyday things. I'm sure he wanted Yitro to give him some wonderful things about, okay, which mountain am I going to part next? And where should I go to defeat this army? You know, they had just come off of defeating Amalek, right? In chapter 17, and just come off of parting the Red Sea, the Lord parting the Red Sea for them to walk. There's all these miracles, of course, the 10 plagues. But you know what? Life is not about parting seas every day. It's about the grind. It's about the routine. It's about the everyday living. And so we need to be mindful of these quote unquote unspiritual things as well, because these are the things that are going to help us work our lives or being used by God to have our lives be examples to other people and to reach other people with the Lord. These things are absolutely necessary for us to be healthy, well-rounded believers that can serve God. Many times people want to serve God. Here I am, you know, hinei-ni kind of thing. And they're not willing to take care of some real bad areas, let's say, and it's going to be glaring. The first time you go out there and you say, okay, people are going to say, you? You know, they're going to say, you've got this huge plank in your eye. How can you talk to me about this splinter? I'm not saying we got to be perfect. I know there's still planks in my eye. There's a bunch of planks in your eye, I'm sure. But you know what? God is in the plank removal business. Okay? You got to let him remove the planks. Because we are to be the standard bearers for Yeshua. We are to be Yeshua's hands and feet. We want to constantly get out of the way so that God can work. But if you're too much in the way, how can God get through? He's going to like try to peek through and try to get through, but you're just like, you're just out there in the way. We got to like move aside, surrender, allow God to do these things in our lives. And this practical wisdom, I think, will really help us. I think it really helped Moses. How else could he have endured 40 years with grumbling and complaining, 2+ million people in the wilderness? It can help us in our lives today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you because you show us all the really awesome stuff about parting waters, Lord, but also all the routine stuff that we need to work on. And just like it's fun and good to talk about the fun and good and spiritual stuff, we also need to look at these practical things. You know, Yitro, Lord, he gave such great advice to Moses. We need to heed that. All scripture is useful for correction and teaching for us in our lives. And Lord, my prayer is that you would use these words in my life to help me so that I can be a light to you, Yeshua. That you would use these words in others' lives so that they can be an effective witness to you and to what you want to do in this world. So Lord, I pray that you would help us to be willing and open to correction. Be willing and open to prioritize and maybe focus on some other areas if you direct us to them, Lord. And be just willing and open to allowing you to work in our lives. I just pray for each and every person, Lord God, here and on the live stream, that you would speak to them today, that you would help us to get this into our heart of hearts, get this in our minds, so that we can more effectively be your standard bearers, Lord. We thank you and we praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand today as we close. As we go out to this dark world and shine this light, let's make sure we're shining that light of Yeshua loud and very clear. And let's take these words of blessing, this benediction in, for us as we go out the rest of this week. Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yah Adonai panav alecha vihunecha. Yes Adonai panav alecha viasim lecha. Shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Sar Shalom. Amen and amen. Well, Shabbat Shalom, all of you. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. If you need some time of prayer, come up and we'll pray with you. We'll also have